Hand him on over to Suffolk. Let him know we have dispatched the Duke as he commanded.
Oh, but it's worth a do. What have we done? Did you ever hear a man so penitent?
How's my lord?
Master, have you dispatched this thing?
Aye, my good lord. He's dead.
Aye, that's well said. Go to my house. I will reward you for this venturous deed. The king and all the peers are here at hand.
And you lay fair the bed. Is all things well, according as I gave directions? Away, be gone.
Go call our uncle to our presence straight. Say we intend to try his grace today. If he be guilty, as is published.
I'll call him presently, my noble lord.
Lords, take your places. And I pray you all proceed no straighter against our uncle Gloucester than from true evidence of good esteem he be approved in practice culpable.
God forbid any malice should prevail that faultless may condemn a nobleman. Pray God he may acquit him of suspicion.
I thank thee, Meg. These words content me much. How now? Why looks thou pale? Why tremblest thou? Where is our uncle? What's the matter, Suffolk?
Dead. In his bed, my lord. Gloucester is dead.
My God forbid.
God's secret judgment. I did dream tonight the Duke was dumb and could not speak a word.
There's my lord. Run, lord. The king is dead.
Bring him up. Bring him by the nose.
Go. Run. Help. Help. Oh, Henry.
He doth revive again, madam. Be patient.
Heavenly God.
How fares my gracious lord?
Comfort my sovereign, gracious Henry, comfort.
Doth my lord of Suffolk comfort me? Came here right now to sing a raven's note whose dismal tune bereft my vital powers. And thinks he that the chirping of a wren by crying comfort from a hollow breast can chase away the first conceited sound? Aid not thy poison with such sugared words.
Lay not thy hands on me, forbear, I say, their touch affrights me as a serpent's sting.
Oh, thou baleful messenger, out of my sight, look not upon me, for thine eyes are wounding. If do not go, come, basilisk, and kill the innocent gazer with thy sight, for in the shade of death I shall find joy. In life but double death now, Gloucester's dead.
Why did you make my lord suffer thus? Although the Duke was enemy to him, yet he most Christian-like laments his death. And for myself, and it foes he was to me, might liquid tears, or heart-offending groans, or blood-consuming sighs recall his life, I would be blind with weeping, sick with groans, look pale as primrose with blood-drinking sighs, and all to have the noble Duke alive. I mean, what know I how the world may deem of me? But it is known we were but hollow friends. It may be judged I made the Duke away. So shall my name with slander's tongue be wounded, and Prince's court be filled with my reproach. I mean, this yet I by his death. Oh, me, unhappy to be a queen and crowned with infamy.
Oh, woe is me for Gloucester, wretched man.
What he woe for me, more wretched than he is? Or dost thou turn away and hide thy face? I am no loathsome leper. Look on me. What art thou like the adder, waxed in death? Be poisonous, too, and kill thy forlorn queen. Is all thy comfort shut in Gloucester's tomb? Why then, Dame Margaret was ne'er thy joy. Erect his statue and worship it. Make my image but an alehouse sign. I for this. Nigh wrecked upon the sea. And twice by awkward wind from England's bank. Drove back again unto my native clime. What boded this? But well forewarning wind it seemed to say. Seek not a scorpion's nest. Nor set no footing on this arrow. And what did I then but curse the gentle gusts and he who loosed them forth their brazen caves and bid them blow towards England's blessed shore or turn our stem upon a dreadful rock? that Aelus would not be a murderer, and left that hateful office unto thee. The pretty Baltic Sea refused to drown me, knowing that thou wouldst have me drowned on shore with tears that salter sea through thy unkindness. Sitting rocks cowered in the sinking sands, and would not dash me with their ragged sides, because thy flinty heart, more hard than they, might in thy palace perish, Margaret! As far as I could send thy chalky shores, when from thy shore the tempest beat us back, I stood upon the hatches in the storm, and when that dusty sky began to rob my earnest, gaping sight of thy land's view, I took a costly jewel from my neck, a heart it was, bound in with diamonds, and threw it towards thy shore. The sea received it, and so I wished thy body might my heart. And even with this, I lost fair England's view, and bid mine eyes be packing with my heart, and called them blind and dusty spectacles for losing ken of Albion's wished coast. How often have I tempted Suffolk's town, the agent of thy foul inconstancy, to sit and witch me, as Ascanius did when he to madding Dido would unfold his father's axe, commenced with burning Troy. Am I not witched like her, thou false like him? Find me. I can no more. Die, Margaret, for Henry weeps that thou dost live so long.
Reported, mighty sovereign, that good Duke Humphrey traitorously is murdered by Suffolk and the Cardinal Beaufort's means.
Aye!
The commons, like an angry hive of bees that want their leader, scatter up and down and care not who they sting in his revenge. Myself have calmed their screamful mutiny until they hear the order of his death.
That he is dead, good Warwick, 'tis too true. But how he died, God knows, not Henry. Enter his chamber, view his breathless corpse, and comment then upon his sudden death.
What shall I do, my niece? Stay, Salisbury, with the rude multitude, till I return.
O thou that judgest all things, say my thoughts. My thoughts that labor to persuade my soul some violent hands were laid on Humphrey's life. If my suspect be false, forgive me, God, for judgment only doth belong to thee.
Come hither, gracious sovereign. View this body.
That is to see how deep my grave is made. For with his soul fled all my worldly solace. For seeing him, I see my life in death.
As surely as my soul intends to live with that dread king that took our state upon him to free us from his father's wrathful curse, I do believe that violent hands were laid upon the life of this thrice-famed duke.
A dreadful oath, sworn with a solemn tongue. What instance gives Lord Warwick for his vow?
See how his face is black and full of blood. His eyeballs further out than when he lived, staring full ghastly like a strangled man. His hair upreared, his nostrils stretched with struggling. His hands abroad displayed as one that grasped and tugged for life and was by strength subdued. Look. On the sheets, his hair, you see, is sticking. His well-proportioned beard made rough and rugged, like to the summer's corn by tempest lodged. It cannot be but he was murdered here. the least of all these signs were probable.
Why, Warwick, who should do the Duke to death? Myself and Beaufort had him in protection, and we, I hope, sir, are no murderers.
But both of you avowed Duke Humphrey's foes. And you, forsooth, sir, had the good Duke to keep. 'Tis like you would not feast him like a friend. And 'tis well seen he found an enemy.
Then you belike suspect these noblemen as guilty of Duke Humphrey's timeless death?
Who finds the heifer dead and bleeding fresh, and sees fast by a butcher with an axe, but will suspect 'twas he that made the slaughter? Who finds the partridge in the puttock's nest, but may imagine how the bird was dead, although the kite soar with unblooded beak?
Are you a butcher, Suffolk? Where's your knife? Is Beaufort turned a kite? Where are his talons?
I wear no knife to slaughter sleeping men. But here's a vengeful sword, rusted with ease, that shall be scoured in his rancorous heart that slanders me with murder's crimson badge. Say, if thou darest, proud lord of Warwickshire, that I am faulty in Duke Humphrey's death.
What dares not Warwick if false Suffolk dare him?
He dares not calm his contumelious spirit, nor cease to be an arrogant controller, though Suffolk dare him 20,000 times.
Madam, be still! With reverence, may I say, for every word you speak in his behalf is slander to your royal dignity.
Blunt-witted lord, ignoble in demeanor. If ever lady wronged her lord so much, thy mother took into her blameful bed some stern, untutored churl, and noble stock was graft with Crabtree Slip, whose fruit thou art, and never of the Neville's noble race.
But that the guilt of murder bucklers thee, and I should rob the deathsman of his fee, quitting thee thereby of 10,000 shames, and that my sovereign's presence makes me mild, I would, false, murderous coward, on thy knee make thee beg pardon for thy parted speech, and say it was thy mother that thou meant'st, that thou thyself was born in bastardy. All this fearful homage done, give thee thy hire, and send thy soul to hell, pernicious bloodsucker of sleeping men!
Thou shalt be waking while I shed thy blood. If from this presence thou darest go with me,
away even now, or I will drag thee hence! Unworthy though thou art, I'll talk with thee, and do some service that you come for his ghost!
What stronger breastplate than a heart untainted? Thrice is he armed that hath his quarrel just, and he but naked, though locked up in steel, whose conscience with injustice is corrupted.
Why, how now, lords, your wrathful weapons drawn here in our presence, dare you be so bold?
Traitorous Warwick, with the men of Bury set all upon me, mighty sovereign.
Stand apart! The king shall know your mind.
Dread lord, the commons send you word by me. Unless false Suffolk straight be done to death, or banished fair England's territories, they will by violence tear him from your palace, and torture him with grievous lingering death. They say by him the good Duke Humphrey died. They say in him they fear your highness' death. A mere instinct of love and loyalty makes them thus forward in his banishment. They say, in care of your most royal person, that if your highness should intend to sleep, and charge that no man should disturb your rest in pain of your dislike or pain of death, yet notwithstanding such a straight edict, were there a serpent seen with forked tongue that slyly glided towards your majesty, it were but necessary you were waked. And therefore do they cry, though you forbid, that they will guard you where you will or no, from such fell serpents as false Suffolk is, with whose envenomed and fatal sting your loving uncle, 20 times his worth, they say, is shamefully bereft of life.
I answer from the king, my lord of sole praise!
Tis like the commons. Rude, unpolished hinds could send such message to their sovereign. But you, my lord, were glad to be employed, to show how quaint an orator you are. But all the honor Salisbury hath won is that he was the Lord Ambassador sent from a sort of tinkers to the king.
And from the king! Oh, Lord!
Salisbury and tell them all from me. I thank them for their tender loving care, and had I not been cited so by them, yet did I purpose as they do entreat. For sure, my thoughts do hourly prophesy mischance unto my state by Suffolk's means. And therefore, by his majesty, I swear, whose far unworthy deputy I am, he shall not breathe infection in his air but 3 days longer on the pain of death.
Oh, Henry. Let me plead for gentle Suffolk.
Ungentle queen, to call him gentle Suffolk. No more, I say. If thou dost plead for him, thou wilt but add increase unto my wrath. Had I but said, I would have kept my word, but when I swear, it is irrevocable. If after 3 days' space thou here be'st found on any ground that I am ruler of, the world shall not be ransomed for thy life. Come, Warwick. Come, good Warwick. Go with me. I have great matters to impart to thee.
Mischance and sorrow go along with thee. Heart's discontent and sour affliction be playfellows to keep you company. There's two of you. The devil make a third. And so this old vengeance tend upon thy steps.
Cease, gentle queen, these execrations. And let thy Suffolk take his heavy leave.
Oh, fie, coward woman and soft-hearted wretch. Hast thou not spirit to curse thine enemy?
A plague upon them. Wherefore should I curse them? Would curses kill? As doth the mandrake's groan, I would invent as bitter, searching terms, as cursed, as harsh and horrible to hear, delivered strongly through my fixed teeth with full as many signs of deadly hate as lean-faced envy in her loathsome cave. My tongue should stumble in mine earnest words. Mine eyes should sparkle like the beaten flint. My hair be fixed an end, as one distract. Aye, every joint should seem to curse and ban. And even now my burdened heart would break should I not curse them. Poison be their drink! Gall! Worse than gall, the daintiest that they taste. Their softest shade, a grove of cypress trees. Their chiefest prospect, murdering basilisks. Their softest touch, as smart as lizard stings. Their music, frightful as the serpent's hiss. And boding screech owls make the consort full. All the foul terrors in dark-seated hell.
Suffolk, thy torments thyself. And these dread curses, like sun against glass or like an overcharged gun, recoil and turn the force of them upon thyself.
You bade me ban. And will you bid me leave?
I entreat thee, see. Oh, give me thy hand, that I may view it with my mournful tears. Oh, could this kiss be printed in thy hand, that thou mightest think upon these by the seal, through whom a thousand sighs are breathed for thee. So, be gone, that I may know my grief. For 'tis the mask while thou art standing by. I will repeal thee, or be well assured adventure to be banished myself. For banished I am, if but from thee. No, speak not to me, even now. Gone. No! Oh, good night yet. And yet farewell. And farewell, life with thee.
Thus is poor Suffolk 10 times banished. Once by the king and 3 times thrice by thee. 'Tis not the land I care for, worth thou thence. The wilderness is populous enough, so Suffolk had thy heavenly company. For where thou art, there is the world itself with every several pleasure in the world. And where thou art not, desolation. I can no more. Live thou to joy thy life.
myself to joy in naught but that thou livest.
Whither goes Vaux so far? What news, I pray thee?
To signify unto his majesty the Cardinal Beaufort is the point of death. For suddenly a grievous sickness took him that makes him gasp and stare and grasp the air. Blaspheming God and cursing men on earth. Sometimes he talks as if Duke Humphrey's ghost were by his side. Sometimes he calls the king and whispers to his pillow as to him the secrets of his overcharged soul. And I am sent to tell his majesty that even now he cries aloud for him.
Go, tell this heavy message to the king. Ay me, what is this world? What news are these? Now get thee hence. The king thou knowest is coming. If thou art found by me, thou art but dead.
If I depart from thee, I cannot live.
Yeah.
And in thy sight to die, what were it else but like a pleasant slumber in my lap?
Oh.
Here could I breathe my soul into the air as mild and gentle as the cradle babe dying with mother's dug between his lips. To die by thee were but to die in jest. From thee to die were torture more than death. Oh, let me stay. Befall what may befall.
No parting be a fretful cause. It is applied to a fretful wound. To France, let me hear from thee. For wheresoe'er thou art in this world's globe, I'll have an iris that shall find thee out. Away.
I go.
Take my heart with thee.
A jewel locked in the woefulest cask that ever did contain a thing of worth. Even as a splitted bark, so sunder we. This way fall I to death.
This way for me.